Leviticus chapter 13. I do hope you have a Bible with you. It'd be very difficult to follow along and to get anything from this unless you look at the scriptures with me. Leviticus, it's the third book in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 13. We've met here together to, we meet here together to worship God, to look into this book. I don't prepare these messages and I don't get up here with the intentions of entertaining anyone. And I hope you don't come for that reason. I know most of you don't. But we come to listen and to learn from the pages of this book. So I ask you to bear with me and follow along closely in this study. Leviticus chapter 13. Let's read a few verses beginning with verse 9. Leviticus 13, verse 9. And when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it hath turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. Unclean. Now, leprosy is a disease which few, if any of us, know anything about or have ever seen it. It is completely unheard of in our society, practically been eradicated entirely from everywhere except in a few remote parts of the world now. But there is a plague of leprosy within every one of us. There is a plague among us right now that infects every single individual. Everyone, even all of us here, every single individual upon the face of the earth is plagued with this disease. And almost every single case is ultimately fatal, as it was with this, as it was. We know something of the disease AIDS. Well, this disease I'm speaking of can be equated with that, spiritual AIDS. I'm talking about sin. Sin. There's a plague of sin within every one of us, and in almost every single case, it is ultimately and finally fatal, except in a few people. And just as in our story here, we're going to see it in a moment. Just as all those who contacted leprosy, they were dead, really. They were walking dead men. They could just expect to die at any time. They were dead while they yet lived. Even so, all who have been infected, which is every man and woman and young person, all who have been infected with this disease called sin are dead, though they are alive in this world. Dead. But there was a cure back then for leprosy. And there's a cure now for this thing called sin. And I want you to notice with me in this study the similarities between the diseases and the cures. It's remarkable. You're going to get a blessing if you gather yourself and follow along. This will be a blessing to you, if God will help us. First of all, four things I want us to notice in this study. I want us to notice the leper and his disease, and then we'll see how that the leper is brought to the high priest, And then we'll see how he's cleansed. And then we'll see the man later on after he's cleansed. Now, first of all, I want to look at the leper and his leprosy. Some characteristics. Now, leper was a loathsome fellow. Loathsome means a despicable looking, awful looking, and odious creature to be around. Terrible looking person and smelling and so forth. A leper was loathsome in their person. Now, leprosy was at first, when leprosy first came upon a person, it was imperceptible. Well, that is, it wasn't manifest on the outside at first because it started within. Leprosy was a disease that started in the bones. The bones, the skeleton, you know, is the foundation of the person. Everything else hangs upon it, the skeleton. And leprosy was a disease of the bones. It started in the bones, and then eventually, in the latter stages, it began to manifest itself outwardly. But at first, when leprosy came upon a person, it only manifested itself in a few little spots here and there, mostly painless, just a scab or a sore on yourself, and it really wasn't very painful, but nevertheless, it was leprosy. And the leper, the person who had leprosy, could have it and be unaware of it. They could have leprosy, a deadly disease within them, and not even know it. But it was there, and it was in the bones, like I said. That's where it started. Until finally, it began to manifest itself in every way. It began to grow worse and worse until finally, outwardly, the fingers would drop off. The whole body would become covered with scales. And the joints would become so weak and the bones brittle until actually a person would just fall into a pile. The bones would, it was just a totally debilitating, destructive, annihilating disease that just wastes the person away to nothing, to act to literally nothing. Despicable, terrible disease. And a leper was loathsome in his person. And even so, yes, it's really too hideous to describe the sight, to go into great detail concerning the smell, the stench. If you ever smelled a rotting flesh, you say, well, this is a terrible subject for such a beautiful Sunday morning. Well, if God showed us what we're really like in His sight, this is what we'd say. This is what we look like. This is what we appear to be before this holy and spotless, sinless God. This is what we are. Our true sinful nature would be too hideous to bear, too hideous to describe. But sometimes, just like that leper, finally he had to know he had leprosy. And sometimes we get a whiff of ourselves, some people. And it's a blessing to have revealed to you your true nature. That's a blessing. It's a gift of God. People come in here and they hear practically every message that I bring. They hear something of man's despicable wickedness and nature, and so our sinfulness. They hear that, and perhaps some people go away saying, well, you're tired of hearing that. Well, it's a blessing of God to have revealed to you what you are. This is where salvation starts. It's got to. And if I'm faithful in preaching the gospel, every time I stand up here, I've got to faithfully proclaim from God's word what we are by nature, what we are before God. Because a man, only when a man sees himself as a sinner will he apply to the Savior. Only then. Only then. Let me give you a very crude illustration. Minda's not in here, is she? This is a very crude illustration, but it'll illustrate what I was just saying. It's saying of a person may not understand why it's a blessing of God to see that they're a sinner. To have God's Word clearly revealed to them, to see that they're just awful, wicked, and deserving of hell. People may not understand that. Well, let me give you an illustration. I get up here every Sunday. This is my most difficult day. And generally, every Sunday, I drench the shirt that I'm wearing with perspiration. I'll use the proper term, perspiration. And perspiration, you know, brings about with it an odor. We all have it now. We all have it. Perspiration odor. B.O., some people refer to it as. But, you know, we don't smell ourselves. We can have B.O. Let's get real graphic. We can have B.O. and not know it. Yeah, we can. Everybody else sure knows it. Well, Mindy brought it to my attention now. Last Sunday night, we were laying on the bed after the whole day. She brought it to my attention. At first now, I thought, what do you mean telling me that? But then I thought, I was glad she told me. I said, now you tell me from now, after that, I said, you tell me from now on. I need to, probably need to go through two or three shirts on Sunday, don't I? Be well. Maybe that's the reason the crowds go down on Sunday night. I don't know. But she told me that, and I was offended at first, but then I thought, I'm glad she told me that. I need to know that so as not to be offensive. Buddy, we need to know we're sinners in the sight of this holy God. We need to know, don't we? So as not to be offensive before this God. So we'll know where to go to get this odor taken care of, to have it taken away. But man, by nature, is a sinner. And sin, like this leper, may not manifest itself at first. Just a few spots here and there in our children. These little girls right here, they look so sweet. Mama and Daddy know better, don't they? Oh, they look... It just manifests itself in a few ways at first, doesn't it? A little tantrum here, oh, it ain't much. Oh, it's the workings of the devil in that child. A little tantrum here. A little lie told here, you know. And the sinner, some people are unaware of it. They've got it, but they're unaware of it. You ask them. Ask them if they're a sinner. Well, you know, I've done some. I'm not really that. But no, I'm not. Really. Some people are unaware of what's within them. But it's there. And like leprosy, it first started in the inward being, in the soul, in the bones. It's in the heart. It's in the mind. It's in the attitude. It's in the will. That's where it starts. And it eventually manifests itself outwardly in every way imaginable until finally you grow worse and worse until somebody takes care of this problem. You grow worse and worse until you just drop into a pile of sinful flesh. And that's where we're described over in Isaiah chapter 1. No soundness anywhere. That's the way God looks at us and sees us. Well, this leper was loathsome in his person. And he was defiled in all of his acts. Everything he did, everything he touched, became defiled with him. That's how contagious this disease was. Everything he touched. Now, it was much more contagious than AIDS. He touched something, and they had to destroy it, had to get rid of it. His eating utensils, his drinking utensils, his bedding, houses had to be burned. Everything that he touched or contacted became diseased right along with him. And the natural man and woman, all of our actions even, everything about us, our eating and our drinking is full of sin, self, pride, self-righteousness. The scripture says even the plowing of the wicked is evil in the sight of the Lord. You mean a man out there raising his garden? That's he. He's outside of Christ now. He's not doing anything
fit or worthy of notice. It's evil.
Why? Because of this nature within us.
Our motive, our will, our attitude, everything, it's for self.
That's why. Why is everything sin? We read it over there in Psalm 51. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Why? Because God gives and gives and gives and we don't acknowledge and we just heap upon ourselves, heap upon ourselves, heap upon, and don't acknowledge. So everything we heap upon ourselves and don't acknowledge God is sin. It's wicked. It's evil. You get into this realm of religion. Even our prayers, our singing. I know, as for a show of hands, how many people in here sung those two songs from the heart? Really meant every word you sang. Really meant it. Could say before God Almighty, oh, I sung that from the heart. Praise and thanksgiving to God. I really mean it. Free from the law. Oh, happy. I'm so happy. How many? Sin. It's evil, wicked sin. We're singing like we mean it. It's hypocrisy, isn't it, Rick? That's the worst form of sin. Hypocrisy. Our prayers, our singing, our worship is full of pride and unbelief.
We're unclean lepers to God Almighty.
This is a picture of unclean lepers. Our thoughts are everywhere. We claim to be in here to come worship God, and our thoughts are everywhere else but here. We're unclean. Unclean. Well, the leper was not only loathsome in his person and defiled in everything that he did, but he was also shut out from society. Now look at verse 45 with me. Leviticus 13, verse 45. When a man got leprosy, he was banished to a place without the city, and he was confined with other lepers. And he was commanded to wear the covering of lepers. Look at verse 45 of Leviticus 13. And the leper is in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be ripped up, his head bare, and he shall put a covering on his upper lip, and he'll have to cry wherever he goes, whoever he comes in contact with. Unclean! Unclean! In verse 46, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he's unclean, he'll dwell alone without the camp. Kick him out. Get him out of here. Without the camp shall his habitation be. See, I don't think it's anything funny about that. It's not funny. It's just a perfect picture of the way things are and salvation. But these lepers were separated from society. They're separated from their dearest friends and loved ones. They were dead to life. They were dead. They were commanded to be kicked out, and those leper colonies were not nice places to live. But they were placed in these places, and they were just dead to the world, waiting to die. And that's us.
We're sinners. The Scripture says our sins have separated us from our God.
God who is life. And if we're separated from our God, we're what? Dead. While we yet live. Dead in trespasses and sin. It's waiting to die. Waiting to be condemned to eternity. Or through eternity. But you know, I read one time they took a homeless man. Took him in and gave him a job and gave him a home and so forth. Cleaned him up and set him on the right path. And you know, the man got in such a rut when he was back as a homeless man. He got in such a rut. He couldn't make it in society. That later on, he left his job, left his home and everything. Couldn't make it. Had to go back to living homeless. He thought he didn't know any other way. He just couldn't make it. That was the way he got used to. And even so, men and women in this world without Christ, without God, some are very content, aren't they? Very content. Seem to be enjoying themselves. Most prefer it this way. They're dead. Separated from God. God who? Yeah. They don't care anything about God. But they're separated from God and they're dead and they're waiting
for condemnation to come. No communion with God, no love for Christ, and they ridicule these things, such as prayer and worship and study, as being false and useless. And they may not know this,
but like this leper here, they wear the covering of leprosy.
This leper was told to wear a covering over his upper lip, and everybody would, so he couldn't spew out this obnoxious disease out of his throat that was an open sepulcher. Had to wear a covering so as not to be so contagious. Unclean! He had to cry out, unclean! I'm unclean!
And people, Christ said, your own mouth shall condemn you. He said, by your words you'll be judged.
And people's mouths, their tongues, their speech,
their lives, give them away. Give them away. Claim to be a disciple and a follower of Christ, and
your mouths, your thoughts, it'll come out. It'll give you away what you're really, who you're really pursuing. You'll be given away as to what you really think. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. Men readily say what's on their mind, what's on their heart. And just like that old leper was banished to the outside of the camp, we're dead while we yet live to the enjoyments of true life, spiritual life. Terry, man doesn't know anything about this life that's in Christ, the natural man. So consequently, he doesn't seek it. He's not interested in it, not pursuing it. But every man by nature is like a leper, loathsome in his person, defiled in all of his acts and everything he does. He defiles it. He's incapable of fellowship with God. He's kicked out from the presence of God, God's people. He's shut out utterly and entirely by sin and from the presence and the acceptance of God Almighty. Now, notice this with me. I want you to notice them bringing this leper to the priest. Look up there in verse 9. Verse 9 of chapter 13. Now, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. Unto the priest. Whenever a leper was to be cleansed, the leper did nothing. He did nothing. You're going to see this in a minute. He just stood there and got cleansed. He did nothing. If you'll read chapter 13, you'll see that. Read it sometime. But the leper was passive. The priest did it all. Look over at chapter 14 with me. Let's look at it here. Chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the high priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Now, the priest was the one that did the healing. He came out of the sanctuary. He came out from amongst healthy people from the city. He came out of that and went to the place of lepers. He went to the leper colony and went out there to them. No one but the priest was to go out there. Why? Because anybody else would get contaminated. Anybody else. The priest, by God's power, was immune to that leprosy. He and he alone could go out there and meet those lepers and meet the ones that had need and heal them. He could go in with the lepers and be immune to them. And then he called the leper before him. He called that leper before him. Now here's the picture. Look at, let's see, look back over. I'm going to go back and forth from chapter 13 and 14. Look at verse 1. Of chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1. Now the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, now when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising scab, just a little spot, it be in the skin of his flesh, like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or under one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. When the hair in the plague is turned white, the plague inside is deeper than the skin of his flesh. And it's the plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean.
Unclean.
Now here's the picture. This priest goes out. He leaves the camp, leaves the sanctuary, and comes out of the camp and goes down to the leper colony. And he calls one of the lepers to himself. He brings him out here and says, "Let me look at you." And the man takes his shirt off or whatever. And the man looks, and the priest looks at him and only sees a few spots on him. Just a spot here, maybe a spot there. Just a few spots. Not much. Not many outward signs, but just a few spots. The priest says, "Unclean." Then he brings out another man. Now, this man has many spots on him, but they may not be seen. His face may look okay. His hands may look okay. But when he takes his shirt off and looks on his back, he can't even see him. He turns around, and the priest looks at his back, and his back is covered with spots. He's got good flesh on the front, but on the back, he's covered.
Unclean.
He's got some good flesh, though.
He's unclean.
I don't care. He's unclean. But if one comes along, look down at verse 12 in chapter 13. Look at this. This is amazing. Verse 12 of chapter 13. If a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague from his head, even to his foot, where the priest, everywhere the priest looks, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy has covered all his flesh, he pronounce him clean. Do you see that? If this man comes in, he's covered all over with leprosy. All over. Just can't, no soundness in him anywhere. Comes before the priest. Priest says, "Clean." And then he goes through some ceremonies to cleanse him. See, that didn't make sense. Oh, yes, it does. It makes gospel sense. Gospel sense. You see, first of all, Christ left the Father's throne. Christ, the holy, spotless Son of God, left the camp, left the throne of God, left life itself, left the bosom of the Father to come down into this leper colony. And only he and he alone could come. Why? Because he'd be immune from sin. He's the perfect high priest. He's the spotless one. He came down into this leper colony, and he could come in among us. Took on the likeness of sinful flesh, but not the sinfulness of flesh. But he took on this body as a man. He came down here, and as a man, and he comes up
to lepers like you and me.
And he comes up to one. And through the word, through the gospel, this is how Christ comes. He comes to the gospel. And one is brought before him, and one stands before him, and one says, "Well, you know, I've done all these things from my youth up. I never drank, I never smoked, I've never cursed, I've never chewed, I've always attended church. Unclean." Well, another one comes up, and he says, "Well, I've got some faults, you know. I haven't lived a perfect life. I fell back when I was up, but I've straightened up now. I've backslid a little bit, but now I've straightened my life up. I'm going to church, and I'm okay now. I've done some bad things."
Unclean.
Unclean. But you let an old boy come in, or a woman come in, that says,
"I'm undone. I'm unclean. I'm cut off."
And so let somebody realize that they're cut off. They're a man of unclean lips and live amongst the people of unclean lips. A leper in a leper colony. I'm no good. All my righteousness are filthy rags. My thoughts, my imaginations, my heart is evil continually. There's no good in me, no soundness in me. I want to be clean, but I have no hope in myself. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. What's he saying? Clean! I will. Clean. Be thou clean. Well, there's some other things that are necessary in this thing of the cleansing of a leper. But you know, This is the first thing. This is what I said a while ago. The reason I'm always preaching on sin. It's old-fashioned, I know. But it's the starting point of the gospel. Always must be. As soon as leprosy is uncovered in a person, when they see themselves as lepers, you know, if we come down with some deadly disease, oh, we're going to run to the doctor, aren't we? Immediately. Immediately. And as soon as sin manifests itself to your conscience, really, from this word, you're going to run to the Savior. Yeah, you are. And not until then. Not until then. You know, as long as a man has anything to boast of, any goodness in himself, he doesn't need a Savior. He doesn't need Christ. As long as he's okay. But when he becomes completely undone, unclean, sinful, wretched, defiled, without hope, without God, then Christ will mean everything. 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 Any feelings of worth and good works, they take away this feeling of sinfulness, and that's what these trials are all about. That's the reason God shows us. That's the reason it's a blessing. That's the reason God lets these things come. Our little girl the other day asked a question. Why does God let me have bad thoughts? That's a good question. Good question. To show you what you are, so you appeal to Him who He is. The only hope. The only Savior. Don't ever lose your sinnerhood. Or if you don't realize it, I hope God will show you. You know, when you're sick, who has a right to a physician? If I went to the doctor today and went in to see him, and you know, I didn't have anything wrong with me, well, he'd cast me out of his presence, wouldn't he? What are you doing here? What do you mean taking up my time? I go in with a terrible problem, sick, on my deathbed, he'll readily see me. I need him. I need him. And he'll help me. A true physician will. And we come before Christ. He's called the Savior. He's called the Redeemer. And we better need, we've got something we need saved from. He's the great physician. And we're deathly sick. And only those people, you know, old Scott used to say this. He said, go ahead and convince me I'm a sinner. Go ahead. He said, the more you convince me I'm a sinner, just tell me how bad I am. Just make it bad. You can't make it bad enough. You can't. He said, go ahead and tell me how bad a sinner I am. Tell me all you want to. He said, that gives me more right to the Savior. It gives me more right. Yeah, it does. He came not to call the righteous, but sinner to repent. Now let's look at how this leper is cleansed real briefly, real quickly. Look at chapter 14. Look at it again with me. Chapter 14. Now verse 3, he said, the priest shall go forth. He brought to the priest. The priest comes out to him, and he'll look and behold if the plague of the leprosy is healed in the leper. Now stay with me. This is a blessing here. Look at it. This is amazing. This is God's word. This is going to astound you. Verse 4. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds. Two birds, both of them alive and clean. And cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And as for the living bird, he'll take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop. That is, he'll tie this bird to this stick with this scarlet thread and dip that living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water and sprinkle that leper that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times. And then he pronounced him clean. See, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's no remission. There's no cure for leprosy without the shedding of blood.
without the shedding of the blood. And look at it. And he'll pronounce him clean, and then he'll let that living bird loose. That living bird fly off in the open field. One dead, one alive. Well, two birds were slain. You know, coming, the priest coming down to this man wasn't enough. There had to be a sacrifice made. Had to be enough. It's the reason John 3:16 won't save a soul. But John 3:14-16 will. God so loved the world, John 3:16 says, that he gave his only begotten son.
That's not enough. It doesn't tell me enough. That's out of context. Let's read verse 14.
As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Now, everybody knew what that's called. Crucifixion.
And you only lift it up on a pole when you die and you shed your blood. Lift it up.
As Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that all that believe in him, look to him, come to him,
shall not perish, but have eternal life.
For God so loved the world. How did he love him? He loved him in this way, by killing his son on that cross.
That whosoever believeth in him. Who? A crucified Savior on that cross. So here's the story. Two birds. One slain with the blood and the water, and the other bird was tied to this cedar stick with this scarlet thread and dipped down in this blood and sprinkled this leper with this blood. And then the living bird was set free. Christ came down here to earth. He had two natures. He's a man and he was God.
No, God can't die. You can't kill God. God didn't die on that cross. Oh, no.
The man, Jesus, died on that cross. God can't die.
But a man can. So he came down. Two birds, two natures, one man. These two are one. He came down and took upon him a body of a person. And God put upon him our sin, our iniquities, our judgment, our punishment, what we had coming to us because of our sin. He put this on Christ, and he tied him to, it's the reason I believe the cross was cedar. And what dogwood is cedar? Because of it. Tied him to this cross, nailed him to the cross, shed his blood. Did you notice there it said running water also? He was nailed to this cross. That hyssop, that's the Holy Spirit, that's a healing balm, healing in his wounds. But he was nailed to the cross, shed his blood when that soldier came by and pierced his side with that sword. Blood and what came out? Water. Blood and water. That's justification and sanctification is what that is. All in this one person, this God-man. But he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay dead. His manhood, yeah, that body died, yeah, but the God-man, the God in him, rose and flew off into the presence of God to sit at the right hand of the God on wings of angels and sat at the right hand of God. And now because he's seated with the Father, because he lives, I live, because he took that blood and tied me to that cross and dipped me in that blood and sprinkled me with that blood. And then he set me free, too. I was crucified with Christ. I was crucified as me and him both. But nevertheless, I live. Where do I live? In him, seated at the right. I flew off, too. On the wings of a snow-white dove. Oh, John said. Well, notice with me that leper is still just standing there. He's still just standing there. All this time, when he brought down to that high priest, they bring this the high priest comes out of the camp, comes down to where the lepers are, and somebody goes in and gets the leper and says, the priest is out here. And they say, oh, okay. And they bring him out here to the priest. That's illustrative of the gospel, somebody bringing somebody to hear the gospel. Somebody's got to sit here under the sound of the gospel or wherever the gospel's preached to hear the gospel, to be under the healing power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel. Somebody's got to be brought
We know that the Holy Spirit does that, but He does it through me. But anyway, the priest comes down, and he comes down to us. And the leper, he's just standing there. He's just standing there. And he comes out. The priest is here. And he comes out there. And all this time, the priest is doing it all. He's killing it. He's getting this bird and tying it up and tying it with string and cutting the throat of the other bird and dipping it down and sprinkling that blood on him, getting all over him, cleansing him. And that man's just standing there. Standing there. Doing nothing. Sure, there's something for him to do. No. Let the priest do it all. Just rest. Just leave her right there and the priest will take care of it. What if he thought, let me help you out here, priest?
That man, that priest had left and gone to somebody else that appreciated what he was doing.
Well, you stood there. If you ever come to Christ, if you're ever brought to Christ by faith, that's all you'll do. You stand there. You'll do it all. He does it all. He's the Savior. He does it all. He sheds it. He lives the life. You don't have to live it. He lives it. He dies. You don't have to die. He died. And He ascends to the Father and He pleads with the Father. You don't have to go to the Father. He goes for us. He does it all. Totally passive. Made clean by the sacrifice of the high priest. And the resurrection. There would be no cleanliness with it. No clean lepers without this resurrection, that second birth. Got to rise again. Got to rise. Well, many people, Christ's blood must be sprinkled
on our consciences. Scripture says it must be sprinkled on our conscience. We must be purged from dead works to serve the living God. In order to know salvation as a reality, this blood has to be sprinkled on us. Yeah, it does.
Salvation, Terry, is God seeing the blood, first of all. But assurance, comfort, peace, hope is when we see the blood, you see. And that leper, you know, back then, he knew when he was clean, didn't he? He felt that blood in his face. He saw it all over him. And then the end result, well, he thanked that priest for that blood, didn't he? Well, many people say this: I know Christ died for sinners, but I don't feel saved. I feel like I'm a sinner, but I don't feel saved. Salvation is not in feelings. Salvation is not feelings. It's in the blood. It's in the blood. If Christ really died for you, now listen very carefully. This may be comforting to you. If Christ really died for you, you're saved. Yes, you are. You are saved if Christ died for you. Yeah, He did. You say, well, but I want to feel it. I want to know it. I want to realize it. Maybe so. But that's not salvation. It eventually will show itself. Feeling, like I said, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for salvation. It's not feeling, a religion you don't feel. But that's not salvation. Feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. Your only hope is in the blood, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else is worth believing or trusting. Only Him. Looking to Him and Him alone. Not to your feelings. They come and they go. But if you're willing, by God's grace, by God's Spirit, if you're willing to stand before Christ, before God, as an unclean leper, a condemned and dying leper and sinner on the authority of God's Word, Christ died for you. I'm not taking that out of context. I'm just telling you like it is. And that's salvation. And that's good hope. That's comfort. That's assurance. You mean I don't have to do it? Feel a certain way? No! Stand there and let Him save you. Let Him. Look at that. Listen to what I say. Stand there and He will save you. Yeah, He will. But you maintain any goodness in yourself. You can find any non-leprous flesh and He didn't die for you. Well, look, and I'll hurry. sorry, Ken. The clean leper afterwards. Look at it here. Look at verse 8 with me. Romans 4, Leviticus 14. You know, we're speaking tonight from John 14 or Romans 14 this morning or Leviticus 14 tonight. Well, anyway, verse 9. And it shall be on the seventh day that that man shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard. Look at it, verse 9. His beard and his eyebrows, all his hair, shave it off. Every bit of it. And wash his clothes. Wash his flesh in water, and he'll be clean. See, what's that talking about? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things become new. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Old habits, old sinful pride. Yeah, you know, you say, well, not all of it's gone from me. No, it won't. It's not. But someday it will be completely. The high priest will shave it off of you to enter into his presence. All the old joys and pleasures of sin. Now, listen to this. Said the beard had to be shaved. This beard, back then, as well as it is now, was a symbol of Jewish pride. Anybody with a long beard, you know, had to be holy. Look at it, you got a beard. As some feel today. I had one time, and I was the most wicked man on the face of the earth. I had a long beard. Hell's angels have long beards. Well, the beard, that symbol of pride and religiosity, cut it off. Cut it off and come naked and open before this holy God. Shave that off. It says the eyebrows. The eyebrows. Boy, you can show, you know. That's how I look at my daughter when I'm mad at her, you know. She knows how. The eyebrows tell. Shave them off. That old countenance of stern countenance of wrath and anger, let it be gone. Shave it off. We hide behind, you ladies hide behind your makeup. When you come see you in the morning, don't look at me. And you put that makeup on, oh, you know. Hide behind it. Well, these are things you hide behind. Shave it off. Cut it off. Come clean before God. Cut everything off that gets in the way of you and your Father. Huh? Mortify, says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Wash and water. That's the word. We're washed by the cleansing of the word. Verse 11. And the priest shall make, the priest that makes him clean shall present the man that is made clean and those things before the Lord. The priest that made him clean finally in the end brings him into the temple, brings him back into communion with the rest of the people, brings him before the door of the congregation, it says, and presents him before the Lord. Clean, here he is. Look what I did. Priest said. Well, and there's coming a day when Christ is going to present his people as holy, spotless, unblameable, unreprovable. Not a spot. Unreprovable in God's sight. Why? By the body of his flesh, through death, to present us in this way. He's made peace by the blood of his cross. And in conclusion, look at verse 32. This is the summary. Look at verse 32. This is it. This is the way of salvation. Verse 32 of chapter 14. See, now this is the law. Rick, we just talked about laws. It's unalterable. God's law is never done away with. It's fulfilled, but it's never done away with. And this is the law of salvation. This is the law of cleansing. If anybody back then is going to be clean, this is the way it's going to be done. Or you ain't going to be clean. And if you're going to be saved from your sin, this is the only way you're going to be saved, by the sovereign grace of God through the redemption, imputed righteousness, and shed blood of Christ. Only way. That's the law. Look at verse 32. This is the law of him who in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertains to his cleansing. If anybody thinks they can go get it some other way, let them try. I'm sure that the high priest said, go on then. Go somewhere else if you feel like it. He said, this is the law, though. Just a man that can't cleanse himself. got to go to the high priest. Got to go to the high priest. Well, there's healing for lepers in Christ. There's pardon for guilty, sinful souls. If you're dying of leprosy, you come to Christ, the Savior. Got God's word on it. He's the great high priest. He did all that's necessary. You don't need to do that. Come to Him. Stand with me and I'll dismiss us in prayer.
Our Father, we are humbled before this glorious book. It's so clear. We pulled out just a few little portions out of this vast ocean of wisdom and wealth. Just a few little verses here and there that speak such glorious wisdom. God, how we wish that we saw more. It rejoices our heart what we do see. What little we see, our little finite minds are capable of entering into. We rejoice. We pray that you'd bring us back and let us see some more. In Christ's name, amen.
You're dismissed.